Welcome to Sweet Tea and Tacos this week. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.
And this week, it's the top five must-have pantry items. So we kind of had this idea. We're talking about spices. We're, you know, obviously we're talking about ideas for podcasts. So we came up with this idea. So we each made our top five list, and we've not told each other what it was. So we had a little negotiation on the front hand. Initially, Jennifer wanted to eliminate salt and pepper, but I kind of negotiated pepper back in and unfortunately gave away one of mine at the same time because she knows me too well. I have a feeling some of ours will be the same because of that. But we're going to focus on savory. This is kind of, to me, if I'm going to stock a kitchen, the first five things I'm buying for my spice cabinet, you know, that I'm going to cook with on a regular basis.
Right. And just, if that wasn't clear, on the salt, you know, we left salt off.
So we left salt off,
we're
yes.
assuming that everybody is going to have salt. You cannot cook without
it. Salt's a given.
Salt's a given.
Pepper's a given, but there's a lot of different types. So that was kind of the negotiation in getting that back in
right.
there.
Which segues probably guessing salts. Into...
Yeah, she knows my first one, which would be white pepper. So, for a long time, you know, I've heard of white pepper, and I think we probably used it a time or two, but I thought maybe it was more of an appearance type of a use. You mm-hmm. use white pepper in lieu of black pepper when you want white sauces, and I know that certainly is a use, but I watched a very old culinary show based on things in New Orleans, mm-hmm. one of the first episodes they ever did from the early 90s, and the interview with this family restaurateur, Cajun chef, and he was talking about using white pepper, black pepper, and cayenne pepper for different flavor profiles in the same dish, and how one was for bite, one was for heat, one was for this, one was for that. So that got me thinking, so I thought, well, let me try some white pepper, and it kind of surprised me about how flavorful white pepper is. So yeah, I've started using it. It's kind of my go-to now in a lot of things. So
yeah, and I will say I like it a lot. You know, I don't have anything against black pepper, but it just got a little pedestrian for me, I guess, sometimes. And it too much of it brought a lot of heat. And the white pepper mm-hmm. just... It's a more kind of roundness of
right.
flavor. It has a little bit more depth. I just right. enjoy it more.
And I'm just using a powdered one right now, but I think my next step is a fresh ground white pepper,
okay.
you know? So that's
yeah.
the next evolution. So, because we usually do fresh ground black pepper, but I think a fresh ground white pepper would be good.
Yeah.
And there's pepper blends, but I like the control of a single one where you can just kind of tweak that one flavor.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, your first one.
All right, my number one is bay leaves.
Gotcha, okay.
So, I don't know. I guess I just kind of have an affinity for it. My mom used it a lot in her cooking. I remember as a kid, this just kind of stuck out, but every time she would do like a kind of a pasta sauce, you know, with meat, like a bolognese type, she put the bay leaf in there and... I was the only child, and so when she would serve up my plate, she would always stick the bay leaf on my plate.
Yeah.
I mean, in the dish, and I would say, "Oh, I got the bay leaf!" I'd be so
yeah.
excited.
Oh, I'm so lucky.
Then,
how does this keep happening?
Finally, I realized one day, "Oh, mom's putting it in there."
So we've done that some with our kids, but that's a neat memory, you know.
Yeah.
But it does. It adds another level of complexity to soups. We use a lot of soups, obviously, but you can use it. You use it in a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know,
we do mostly use it in soups and stews, but yeah. you say, pasta sauces.
You know, whole bay and, you know, a fresh organic one.
Right. You know, so. And it's the type of thing where you... when you eat whatever you've cooked it with, you don't say, "Oh, I taste that bay. It's wonderful." But if you don't have it in,
right,
you just kind of notice it.
Yeah.
It's almost this indescribable sort of flavor profile sometimes, but it just really adds a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So my second one would be granulated garlic. Mm. So not garlic salt, and sometimes it's garlic powder, but I like the thicker ones.
More the granule size. More the granule
size, yeah. I just think it's nice to have on hand when you don't have fresh garlic. I think a garlic adds a lot to your dish, no matter what you're cooking. I think it has, you know, garlic really adds a lot of depth. And having that granulated garlic, is a nice thing to have on hand when you can't have the fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was actually my number two as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So number three, a Southern style liquid hot sauce. So I like having it on hand. It adds, you know, it's a quick way to add a little bit of heat. It's not chunky. You know, whatever your favorite brand is.
Yeah, there's several good ones from and everybody like, the has state of Louisiana.
Yeah, everybody and has their probably, preference.
You know, other brands as well.
Oh, absolutely. All over the place. But just that liquid in a little bottle on the table all over the South. You know, yeah. You sprinkle on your catfish or your greens or whatever.
Yeah.
But I use it a lot for cooking just to add a dash of heat, a dash of red pepper flavor. But then they also have, there's a lot of varieties out there, some chipotle.
Right, like some blends.
Yeah, some blends. And I like using that in chilies because you can add a smoky component to your chili or that type of dish.
It's also really good, a few little drops in scrambled eggs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's see. We're on number three.
Number three.
Mine's going to be paprika.
Yep.
And there are several kinds of paprika out there on the market. We mainly just use kind of your straight paprika.
Right.
But then there's like Hungarian.
And hot and sweet. And yeah.
Smoked paprika.
Smoked paprika. Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
That was probably the number six on my list was paprika. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's that one time we did a dish. We found this old Cajun cookbook. And it had a recipe for paprika chicken. And it had like this obscene amount of paprika. I don't know, it was like a cup or something. Like you, almost a whole thing of paprika. And at first you're like, well, okay, let's try it. But it was good. It was really good. But yeah, just chilies and chicken and fish and I mean, beef, whatever. Yeah.
And it does add some nice color to things.
Color, absolutely.
But it adds good flavor.
And again, the smoked paprika, I like in the chili for the same reason of the chipotle, you know. But some can be hotter, some can be not as hot. So, yeah, you see some variety to adjust individual flavors. And that kind of leads me to mine, which was chili powder. You were kind of leaning away from blends.
Yeah.
But I just like the generic chili powder term, whether or not you're using a single chili powder or a blend of chili powders. I like having chili powder. And not just for a chili, that's kind of obvious, but just beef. I think chili powder brings out the flavor of beef. So I like adding just a dash to ground beef or a steak or a roast or whatever. Just a little bit of a chili powder, I think, helps amplify the beefiness of it.
Like when you're doing a kind of a rub to get grill it or something like that.
Yeah, but if I'm just sauteing ground beef, you know, salt, pepper, chili powder.
Yeah.
You know, I think it just helps it. Not, don't put enough in there that it starts tasting like maybe a taco meat or a chili meat, but just enough to bring out a little extra beefiness of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Number four.
All right.
You're number four.
It's going to be celery seed.
Ah.
So, something I've been using for probably, I don't know, about the past 5 years, I guess. And I mainly use it in things like chicken salad and egg salad when I make tuna salad. I mean, not that I wouldn't put fresh celery in there too, but it's kind of like with garlic, you always can have it on hand because it's dried. And
if you've got a can of tuna and you want to whip up some tuna salad, you don't have to worry about having fresh.
That's right.
This, that, and the other.
Yeah, it just adds a nice flavor, and I enjoy it.
Cool. All right, so my number five would be Worcestershire. I just like saying Worcester. Worcestershire sauce. And it's a complex flavor. It's that one of those flavor profiles. You know, you have the sweet, salty, sour, and then there's what they call umami, which is kind of the savory. It's hard to describe, but it's just that savoriness, like mushrooms and this, that, and the other, but Worcestershire kind of adds that. So just a little, you know, drop here and there. Mm-hmm. But it's a complex flavor in a small source, you know.
It is. I will say I love it in ground beef when you're making burgers. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and mix it through.
Yeah, mix it in.
It makes an amazing burger.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And number five for you?
My number five is dill. Okay. Dried dill. Again, kind of like the celery seed, something I haven't been using that long, you know, maybe the past couple of years. But I have found myself putting it in a lot of things these days, you know, eggs, kind of like with the celery seed also, things like egg salad, chicken salad. But it just adds a real fresh taste. You know, you think about like dill pickles having a real strong taste, but the dry dill is, it's not quite as intense.
Fresh,
and it's more of a, just a kind of a fresh,
fish.
Eggs, oh yeah, it's great. Like on some salmon. Yeah. Oh
yeah. Our kids love it.
Which they do.
Shocking. So these are, you know, some things that you would have on hand, so you don't always have to rush out to the grocery store to cook something. You know, it's like I've got these ingredients on hand, and I know what these can do, and they're pretty versatile things. And I can pull some stuff out of my fridge and cook. You know, one of my favorite stories is a friend of mine in college, Keith. We went home. He came home to me with me one weekend, and I cooked, and it wasn't anything major. It was like frozen peas and pork chops and maybe rice or something. And he was like, "Man, you cooked from ingredients." And I'll just never forget that, because it was kind of like shocking to him that, I don't know if it was somebody my age or maybe other people in college don't cook. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't just some like I stuck it out, pulled it out of the freezer and stuck it in the microwave. It was different components I put together. And those are, you know, pretty generic components you can have on hand. But then, you know, some other things you might want, obviously, you know, a good oil is a versatile pantry item.
Yeah. And I would encourage you to look for a really good quality oil. You don't have to spend a ton. Just do a little research. There's some really good ones out on the market. We found one recently at kind of one of these big box stores.
Yeah.
That's an extra virgin organic olive oil that was recommended by an author out there. And then another oil that we've stumbled upon lately that we really enjoy is avocado oil. And it's really good for a high heat.
Right.
I think it's up to like maybe 450 degrees.
But a lot of people shy away from cooking in high heat with olive oil.
Yeah.
But I think it depends on the olive oil.
It does.
Yeah, a really strong flavored one maybe, you know.
Yeah, some of them can taste maybe a little grassy or something like that. But you think about all the cultures that have used olive oil through the years, and you know they fried with it. It's not going to, you know, I mean, it can withstand the heat. It may be more about kind of some of the flavors that it imparts, but certainly can handle the heat, I think. I mean, that's just my opinion. But and another good oil is coconut oil, and that's become real trendy, you know, the past few years.
Right.
But it's a very stable oil. It's not really going to go rancid very quickly at all. And I will say, on some of those others, you do have to be careful. I mean, you don't want to use like 3-year-old olive oil that's been opened and sitting in your cabinet. And again, like with the spices, you know, check some expiration dates. If you got some old stuff, throw it out and start over.
Keep them fresh.
Yeah, keep them fresh.
Yeah, but it's good to have the dried ones on hand when you can't have the fresh stuff.
It is. And here's a tip. If you've got a dried, say, herb or something like that, maybe like dry basil or maybe an Italian-type blend, you know, do it in the palm of your hands, kind of crinkle it up a little bit
before you throw it in.
Yeah. It'll release a little bit of those oils
and
bring out some more
flavor. A lot of Indian cooking, they saute a lot in a dry pan.
They do.
The spices, and they toast them. And I know, and sometimes in in Spanish cooking, Mexican cooking, in different cultures, they'll toast the spices.
Yep.
And amplify the flavor of the toasted spices. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And so what about some sweet ones? We didn't really cover sweet ones, but what would be kind of your sweet ones that you would have on hand?
Well, and I think that's pretty obvious. Probably most people would have the same, you know, maybe four or five. Mm-hmm. But I did do a little research, and so I had... Let me just name them, and then I'll go back and talk a little bit about them. Cinnamon, cloves.
Okay, makes sense.
Nutmeg. And ginger.
Okay.
And then maybe allspice. So now, again, we're not doctors. We're not health practitioners. We're not dispensing any kind of medical advice. But, I mean, if you just do a basic search on the internet, I think most people would agree that, you know, spices in general a lot of times have some good health benefits. So I thought it was interesting to find out that cinnamon can lower blood sugar levels. You know, it's just really good for your blood sugar. It's also kind of anti-inflammatory. Let's see. So cloves, you know, you see cloves in kind of the whole form,
right?
It's it almost looks like a nail,
right?
You know, it's got kind of this head on one end and then the little pierce part. And then, but we use it a lot in baking in the ground form.
Right.
The whole cloves are good for like mulling spices or
steeping and different things.
Then nutmeg is just another good spice out there.
It's got that, you know, it's a fall flavor we're real familiar of. But also, you know, you can use it in a lot of different things. A lot of people use nutmeg in soups. We do this pumpkin bisque that you had a recipe for from somebody one time. It uses nutmeg. It's kind of a sweet and a savory component to it, which is nice.
It is. Yeah. And I will say that, just a sort of a FYI, that mace, you hear about mace, you know, like with those pepper sprays and things, that mace is the outer covering of nutmeg.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, for whatever that is. And then ginger, ground ginger, it's just nice, you know. You think about it in like gingerbread, and again, just kind of those fall profiles. And then allspice is not like, it's not a blend.
Right.
It's not, you know, cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves all together. It's its own spice. And the reason that it was named allspice is that people felt like it had flavors
of all of,
all of those.
Gotcha.
But it's very prevalent in Caribbean cooking.
Gotcha.
If you know about the jerk seasonings things, that's in there. And then also, and this is from Encyclopedia Britannica, but it said that it's a main spice in ketchup.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Okay. I thought that was really, really interesting. But it's from, it's the dried berry from the allspice tree.
Huh. Okay. Cool.
The unripe dried berry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, cool. Yeah. So you have kind of a staple of ingredients that you would consider mostly sweets, but some, you know, cross over into your savories with, you know, ginger can be in a savory, a lot of garlic and ginger combinations in Indian and
Asian
cooking.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of, you've got nutmeg, which a lot of people shows up in different sauces, and a lot of people like to put that on white sauce.
Right.
Help make a, it makes a more complex flavor. Yeah. I think I would round that list out with maybe cocoa powder. And I think with that combination of things, you could pretty much do, you could do a wide variety of things in your kitchen, you know, without having to run to the store. Make brownies, obviously. Make cookies.
Yeah.
You know, make a pie. You know, make a cake.
And I've got to say, it's not really a spice, but vanilla extract.
Right.
You know, you kind of need that, too.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Worcestershire.
That's right. And I would encourage you to buy a good quality one. Don't don't buy, like, I mean, artificial. You know, they're not that expensive. You can get a decent quality one at the grocery store.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks. I hadn't even thought about some of those. So that's Sweet Tea and Tacos for this week. We urge you to subscribe and leave a comment for us. We'd love to hear back from some folks. You can go to the website, sweetteentacos.com, send us an email, and let us know, you know, what you thought, what comments you might have, or some things you would like to talk about. And that's it for this week. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.